We believe that people of this island are entitled to their own homeland, and for that, we need to halt mass immigration, start remigration in order to put our own people first. Since the demise of the BNP, there's been absolutely nothing. People have started doing street politics that makes no progress at all because it doesn't have an impact on people's lives and local communities.
Isn't a movement that's countercultural like that always going to attract basically people that are high in psychopathic traits?
Any radical movement will attract these type of people. You see the same kind of elements of people in the Labour Party and the left-wing parties. Every movement's going to attract them. But what we need to have is discipline. It's one of the reasons why the Continentals are so far ahead of us is they see that you have to be disciplined. You have to sell the best of yourself there to win public confidence.
We're becoming multicultural. Increasingly, our native culture is being erased. It's all well and good having these middle class people that think they're upholding some kind of sophistication. But that sophistication is going to disappear. You need that ethnic homogeneity to have that sense that your offspring are going to grow up in a safe environment.
There's a misunderstanding and a misrepresentation of what remigration actually means. It means implementing policies at local and national government level that encourages these people to leave of their own accord.
And welcome to the Jolly Heretic. I am in Tower Hamlets with Mr. Kenny Smith and Mr. Alec Cave from the Homeland Party. And their policies are things like remigration and that there are rather too many unintegrated immigrants. So we're going to have a bit of a chat. So, Kenny Smith, you are the leader of the Homeland Party.
Yes, I'm the chairman, yep.
And this young man here...
I'm the National Media Officer for the Homeland Party.
Right, as National Media Officer, okay. And so what are the sort of key policies of the Homeland Party?
So putting our people first is where it all begins. That's the whole purpose of the Homeland Party. We believe that the ethnic people of this island are entitled to their own homeland. And for that, you know, we need to halt mass immigration, start remigration in order to put our own people first.
And so what are you offering? There are a number of parties that offer this kind of thing, aren't there? Paul Golding's Britain First, Mark Collett's, it's a pressure group, a patriotic alternative. There's still the BNP, it still exists. So what is it that you're offering that is different?
We're uniquely different because we are selling sensible nationalism, which is basically a nationalism that doesn't encourage the cranks and weirdos and antisocial elements who have been damaging nationalism for years. I was part of the BNP many, many moons ago when it was basically a street gang. And as soon as we got serious and started implementing community politics, we started making progress. Since the demise of the BNP, there's been absolutely nothing. People have started doing street politics that makes no progress at all because it doesn't have an impact on people's lives and local communities. What the Homeland Party today is trying to do is find people who will be leaders and positive examples in their community to sell nationalism the proper way. As far as we're concerned, nationalism is the most wholesome worldview that there is going because it puts our people first on everything.
But aren't you always going to, if you think about it, it's countercultural. Where, okay, maybe there's a backlash happening, but we're basically in a kind of left-wing state, a left-wing situation. Conformist people are likely to be left-wing. And so isn't a movement that is countercultural like that always going to attract, well, you call them weirdos or whatever, but basically people that are high in psychopathic traits. And there's actually studies on this, that people on the alt-right or whatever are high in psychopathic traits. And that's always going to cause a problem.
Any radical movement will attract these type of people. I've been going to election counts for decades now. You see the same kind of elements of people in the Labour Party, in the left-wing parties, in the Green Party. Every movement's going to attract them. But what we need to have is discipline. And that is something that the nationalist movement has lacked for decades. One of the reasons why the Continentals are so far ahead of us is they see that you have to be disciplined. You have to sell the best of yourself there to win public confidence. This is where community politics comes in as well. If you're a stand-up guy in your local community or stand-up woman in your local community doing positive works, they don't care what names you get called. They don't care whether you can call Nazi, fascist, racist, any of these things. You can be as radical as you like, as long as you're doing positive in the community.
But, I mean, we were talking earlier in the cafe about the difference between the middle class and the working class and the upper class, OK? And how the middle class always have to virtue signal because they're insecure in their status and they're not in touch with what's going on. So you end up with luxury beliefs and uber-social conformity and that sort of thing. So it's a working class movement, and there's a degree to which working class people, on average, are lower in certain kinds of conscientiousness and things like this. They're more physical kind of people. So aren't you always going to get this thug image, which is then going to be used to paint the beliefs that you espouse as low status?
I'm as working class as they come. Some people say I'm a little aggressive by nature as well. But I believe that's what's needed for this time. We are a radical movement who are not afraid to speak up for our people. And that's part of the problem with nationalism at the moment. Lots of people feel like us, but they're too scared to stand up. What the Homeland Party is doing is giving courage and hope back to people and allowing people to stand up and say, you know, we're standing in the middle of this multicultural hellhole right now, and we're not afraid to say, look, we're Homeland, this is what we're doing. That's what this country needs. We need radical young people, young men and women, to stand up and say, we're not taking it anymore. We're going to fight back. We're going to be positive influence in our community.
How are you? I mean, when I interviewed Paul Golding a few weeks ago, one of the things that he said to me was, well, look, we've got this big party. We've got all these branches and Homeland are a minnow. Why not just merge with them? What's the point of having...
Because the man's talking absolute mince. They've been going for 20 years. They don't have a single councillor. They don't have this massive structure. They're a nonsense. You know, he tells lies online about the number of members he has. They're nowhere anywhere near as organised as us. And, you know, tell me where they're standing in local elections. Tell me where they're getting elected representatives. They're not. They're a grifting operation who attacks people like us who are radical and sensible and making a difference. And he chooses to smear guys like me.
Well, yes, when he claims
his own girlfriend is telling him he's sitting on the couch eating his cornflakes, watching videos of Hitler's, yet he's claiming I've got a swastika too. The guy's a crackpot.
Kenny, would you take your shirt off? For the
No, I don't. I'm not taking my chest out for anybody. There's no need for it. I am losing weight right enough. So maybe in the summer, once I've taken more of that weight off.
Well, he claims you're a state asset, you know. He claims that you work for Hope Not Hate.
Well, one day he's calling me a Nazi. The next day he's calling me a communist. The next day a state asset. You know, I've been called all things in my life. I don't care. I've got... A tough leather skin. I stand up and say what needs to be said, and I don't care who gets upset by it.
So why was it that when the Hope Not Hate rang him, it was via some phone number that they could only have got from WeWater?
For me, his name popped up my phone because he phoned me up earlier in the year begging Homeland Party not to come to a silly remigration march in Nuneaton that was a complete flop. And I told him that we had no intention of going. That's not our style, not our tactics. You know, the man's a clown as far as I'm concerned.
Now, you're in charge, this is Alec Chaps, you're in charge of the PR operation then, really? The national...
To an extent, yeah. I'm the media officer, so I oversee graphics, video, written content that goes out. That's a large role I play, obviously making sure our conferences run smoothly and are filmed correctly, stuff like this.
OK, and so one of the problems I'm saying to Kenny is the association of these kinds of views, which I think are quite sensible. Remigration, we need it. I mean, look...
No better argument for remigration than perhaps white chap.
This is not England anymore. Anybody could see that. So one of the problems is, though, the association... comes about so with low status and with thuggery. Now, you're a dapper young fellow.
Thank you very much.
So you should, really, frankly, you should break a fat or a tie, but otherwise it's pretty...
I do most of the time.
But no one wants to see your chest hat. But otherwise, what would you do then in terms of a PR operation to associate these views with status? Because that's really quite important, I'm afraid, to a lot of people.
Well, I think you've got to appeal to people's sense of safety. Obviously, multiculturalism is destroying social trust and cohesion. And, you know, we have these, as you mentioned, middle class types. They stick their head in the sands. They kind of, you know, put their hands over their eyes and ears and pretend like things aren't getting worse. But eventually it'll catch up with them. There's only so far you can run away from these issues, and they will have to confront them. So you can appeal to things like, you know, the young people, even people that were going to become middle class, they've got no chance because they can't get on the housing ladder because house prices are insanely high. Mm. You know, crime is spiralling out of control.
One of the things I find is that the most pro-multiculturalism areas are completely white middle class areas.
Yes. Yeah. And obviously we're becoming multicultural. Increasingly, our native culture is being erased. So it's all well and good having these middle class people that think they're upholding some kind of sophistication. But that sophistication is going to disappear because our culture is being erased. And I mean, does this seem sophisticated to you? Doesn't to me.
The CD player's working.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Invented by Europeans. I mean, you did that story you were saying earlier about the person in, was it Skye that...
A teacher who moved up from Lancashire, who had previously had a class she had in Oldham where she didn't have a single white student. And yet she's moved up to Skye and denies that there is a multicultural problem. And I think people on the left often can have that kind of retarded argument where they can make two statements that are completely at opposite ends of the spectrum and think it's normal.
And did she deny that she'd moved there because it was white?
Yes, 100%, yes. And that was a common trait. During my time in Skye, I lived there for about 7 years. We had what I would technically call white flighters, lots of them moving up from Yorkshire and Lancashire. Some of them in private would tell you that, yes, 100%, that's why they moved, but please don't tell anybody else in the community. Publicly, down the pub or at the parent council meeting, no, we move a better quality of life.
A white area like Skye or whatever, it's a way of virtue signalling and getting covert say, isn't it? I'm not racist.
Yeah. I had a friend who used to say, Kenny, you're a bit extreme. And then he went to a wedding in Aberdeen and he came back to me and he said, my God, I thought I was in Nigeria. And, you know, they sometimes they just have to see it for their own eyes. And, you know, if the camera pans around and look here, this doesn't feel like London. Doesn't feel like, you know, the capital city of the English. And that's what, you know, why we need re-migration in this country.
It's interesting that the Scots are way more woke and way more left-wing than the English. And I think that it's not a coincidence that Scotland is still about 95% white.
Yep. And you know, I think the SNP are playing into that. Their form of nationalism is a very internationalist. And they've as long as they're getting this 45% of the population who are determined to get independence, they're forgiving everything else. So they're really taking advantage of that independent support, I think. Most people who are unionists in Scotland do not have that sensibility.
Nicola Sturgeon was when someone, she said, racism against people is not tolerated in this country. And then someone shouted, unless you're English.
Yes, exactly. And you know, she's the lady who stood up and basically said that the thing she hated most about her party was that it was called the National Party. And, you know, she believes that if somebody parachutes into Scotland, they're Scottish before they even touch the ground. It's an absolute absurdity. You know, without the Scots, there is no Scotland. Without the English, there's no England.
I think a big part of it is that she's one of those childless weirdos.
Yes.
And when you have a stake in the future, you have something to fight for, and you don't put your maternal instincts onto immigrants.
Yes, 100%. Look at all these. There are countless childless leaders across Europe who are pushing for open borders. People who have families understand that connection, and they don't want these kind of things.
There was actually a study that found that women become more racist when they're pregnant. Something to do with the hormones, I don't know what it was.
It's natural to want to protect your family and your kin, isn't it?
People become more conservative once they have children, because there's something to fight for, I guess, and there's something, yeah.
They've got skin in the game.
They've got literally skin in the game, yeah. What do you think about that?
I completely agree. Yeah, the survival instincts kick in, don't they? You know, when you've got the prospect of your future offspring, you know, you're putting in all this effort to bringing life into the world, and your instincts are just going to kick in, and you're going to be like, I want total safety, and you need that. Well, let's be frank, ethnic homogeneity to have that sense that your offspring are going to grow up in a safe environment.
Now, one of the issues, as I said, my concern always with these parties is there always seems to be infighting. And relatively recently, two things. One is that you have this chap, what's his name, from Kent, that I was going to interview. Yes, Steve Laws. The problem is he's got a very large Twitter presence and whatever, and he was your one of your organisers, and he's suddenly out. What's going on there?
Steve chose to take a back seat because he felt that we weren't playing up to a nationalist audience. The Homeland Party has been exactly the same from day one. We promote sensible, radical nationalism that's focused at winning over Joe Public. We have an online presence. We work very hard at building that, but it's not our number one focus. Steve simply felt tactically that our focus should be on building a nationalist base rather than winning over the public. And
it's a nationalist base as opposed to winning over the public, aren't they the same thing?
Well, you know, that's something you'd need to ask him. But for us, you know, it was his decision to step back. He's still a member. And these things happen. You know, we are a big party. We're not a cult of personality. People come, people go. We've had regional organisers step down before. Other people step in. It's to be honest, had minimal impact.
This fellow Northern Variant in Bradford, he's one of your chaps, yes?
Yes.
What's his name?
Pete North,
Northern Variant. And he's arguing against mass remigration, which is one of your key policies.
No, he's not. Pete's argument is more in line with what remigration means in the continent. So the Homeland Party policy is that we remove the illegals, we remove the criminals, and subversive. Everybody wants to support them. I think universally across all the parties, everybody understands that. But there's a misunderstanding and a misrepresentation of what remigration actually means. Remigration doesn't mean kicking in the door of second and third generation immigrants. It means implementing policies at local and national government level that encourages these people to leave of their own accord. That's how remigration is understood all over the continent. As usual, the UK, we're an island nation, we're slightly different from everybody else, and some people are misinterpreting remigration as an extension of deportations and physical removals. So that's not...
So what you're saying is, so deportation would be that they're here illegally and they are physically apprehended and removed, like Trump.
Criminals too, and subversives, the people who are trying to change our culture and you know, the
migration. Remigration is just that they are the ones that haven't integrated and are not interested in doing so.
Remigration could actually be anybody, Ed. So remigration, you know, once we remove... you know, halal and kosher ritual slaughter. Once we remove child, you know, cousin marriages, things like that. These people are not going to find this place the paradise they thought they now have the advantage they have now. When we withdraw translation services and all sorts of other things, these people are going to look for places, better places, because they are essentially economic migrants. So remigration is about putting our people first, having that cast iron focus on our own people and saying to these people, you're no longer going to get things that we don't have. For example, the Indian migrants, economic migrants that are coming over, and been told they're coming over, this 500,000 who are going to get a 3-year national insurance tax break. That's insane. You know, if anybody should get a tax break, it should be our people, because we've had to pay for mass immigration. So when we remove all these advantages, these people are going to go. And that's what remigration is. And we've seen it in other nations as well. If there's any backlash and kick, then you move to deportation.
It worked in Kazakhstan. They went from being 30% of their own population to 70% of their population. Yeah.
It can happen. There's examples all over the world, and there has been for decades. It comes down to political will at the end of the day, Ed.
And so what are your plans? How many branches do you now have?
We've set up in every single region of the UK at the moment. Branches, I don't know. I think there's something like between 50 and 60 officers, branch officers. We're growing all the time. You know, as I said before, our focus is on building community leaders. We don't try to impose leaders onto areas. We get the talent in and we help develop them and support them.
You were originally part of Patriotic Alternative, Mark Collett's thing. Which is a pressure group. I was under the impression he was trying to register as a political party and they kept rejecting him. Is that true?
Yes. I joined and I was a member for a couple of years. And I joined because I was sold on the idea from him that they were going to do away with that guy. The cranks and the weirdos I still talk about now. They also told me they were serious about becoming a political party. Neither of these things were through for me in the end, and I left because I want sensible nationalism.
Did
I want
keep to being rejected as
it did. I was involved in I think three of these applications, and They changed the parameters every time. We couldn't have a consistent fight with the Electoral Commission like we achieved with the Homeland Party. We put in our first application, got knocked back, and we challenged it and stuck to our guns, and we won. But every time it was coming back previously with Collett, he would tweak and change things, and it didn't make for a sensible application. And in the end, he wasn't serious. He was basically claiming the only reason they were bothering is because myself and Steve Blake wanted to be a political party. Himself and Taylor weren't interested.
Right, OK. So that's why you broke away with the issue of the...
I broke away because I was serious. They also had so many cranks and weirdos that we were saying shouldn't be involved. And he was encouraging and encouraging that guy that he told me that they wouldn't have. Yeah.
Were you involved in PA?
For a short while, yeah. Did some leafleting and attended protests.
And did you have the same feeling that it was attracting cranks and weirdos?
There was a certain level of quality that, we were not... there was a threshold that wasn't being met, yes.
I was invited to go to the launch of his first one in 2019. And it was also done. There were lots of very, very middle-class educated people there, PhD students and things like this. And I get the... I'm told that it's changed, so...
Yeah, standards just slipped increasingly. People were being let in based on favouritism rather than meritocracy. That's something, we are very meritocratic as an organisation with Homeland, you know. People have to show competence, quality, instinct, all of these kinds of things. Whereas by the end, basically anybody could turn up, regardless of how they conduct themselves, whether they were disciplined in what they were saying, whether they had any baggage coming into the organisation, these kinds of things. So
how many members does Homeland have?
We're just over the 1,300 now, which is pretty good because we only turned 2 years old yesterday.
That's quite good because, as I understand it, the BNP in about 1997 had about 600 members, isn't it?
When I joined in 1991... We were tiny. It was only maybe 500 members. At its height, it got up to 16,000. So for us to reach 1,300 in just under 2 years, you know, we're self financed. We don't have any media leg up. You know, you're one of the few dissident right people to even bother interviewing us. So we've had to get to that stage, by our own sweat and effort. So I think we've done amazingly well.
All right. Thank you for watching. I'm proud to be able to bring you important and particularly countercultural perspectives like that of Kenny Smith and Alec Cave of the Homeland Party. And I wouldn't be able to do it without the support of my subscribers. So if you support the work I'm doing and would like to help bring the public's attention to the perspectives that the mainstream media ignores, then please become a subscriber at thejollyheretic.com.
Are you ready for the future of the West?